I want to welcome everybody to the City Story of the City Council meeting, Monday, June 8th, 2015, at 7 p.m. First line of business is roll call.
David Jennings.
Jerome McCown, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
Nancy Snell, present.
Richard Adams, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the honor of which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On my behalf, this flag, I pledge allegiance to the city of Texas, with liberty and justice for all, one and indivisible.
Item 3.0, special presentation, 3.1, we don't have any tonight. Item 3.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting, May 26, 2015, if the council's had time to review the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Wheeler, thank you, second.
Second.
Ms. Snell, any questions for council? If none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses, report meetings attended. Had a couple of phone calls, no actual council meetings this week, but I did have a couple of phone calls with Lucio Ortiz on the sound wall. We basically have chosen a type of diagram or type of material they're wanting to do on the inside of the wall. TxDOT is trying to get approval at this time. If item one doesn't go, we have a backup for item two for the backing of the wall, basically facing the residents. So just that general, we're still on a whole pattern form. I know that they're doing a review of the traffic at 0146 and Short Acres Boulevard for traffic for a light there that we had requested some time ago. It is under review. That's a positive. It is also under review northbound 146 feeder, basically when you take off to the right, to extend that some where you don't get those 90 mile an hour running you over anymore. So they're working on that. So there are some things being worked on. It's just the clock's turning, but it's not turning fast enough for myself. But we can only push so much. So it is moving there. Want to let the council know, the citizens, the 4th of July parade is coming up again. We did that last year. It was a really nice time. We actually were on a trailer running around handing out popsicles. This year, I've asked David to look at the monies, and we're going to look and see if maybe we can afford shirts for all the council folks. To have our name printed on it, the logo. Also, in lieu of using a truck which causes pain to certain individuals, may hit it trying to jump on and off of it. It may be the fact that we might look at if individuals of the council know someone or they may have golf carts. That's what the city of LaPorte does. I think it would behoove us to do that instead of trying to pull a trailer with a truck. I'd like to see our newest unit out there, along with one other unit from the chief out there, with our units in front of us, maybe riding behind them in golf carts. And I do myself have a Kubota, and I'm thinking we could put ice chests in the back of that. I think it was a real hit handing out the popsicles to the kids. It beat hard candy. It was hot out there, which it is. We know we ran it the whole way. It's more for the kids than it is for the adults. So I would like to try to do that same thing. So I want the council to just keep that in the back of the line, and on the next council meeting we can discuss it and go over what we would like to do. But, I'd definitely like to see our citizens make it out there also for a good showing. Also, in the very near future, I put down a date of the 29th of July. We'll be having our first workshop meeting for the budget. I'd like to start on it earlier this year and get on that. So we can get that budget going, get things going on that end. With that being said, move on to item 6.0. And we go down to public hearings and public comments. Going to 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed by the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion of items participated and identified on this agenda. So we cannot comment back to you. With that being said, I'll usually just start the far end. So when anybody, please give us your name and address, sir. We greatly appreciate it.
My name is Steve Farley. I live at 1007 South Country Club. And after Hurricane Ike, there's a property next door to me at 1005 South Country Club that's they've made a couple of attempts to maintain the lawn and shrubbery and trees, but it's grown up since then, and I was wondering if anything can be done, if there's any guideline that you could force property owners into going by to clean the property up. I don't know if any of y'all gone by there and looked at it, but it's ridiculous. The trees and shrubbery have grown up over the house, and to me, the house should have been demolished, but I think to fix it up where it barely passed inspection. But if they would just mow or cut the trees down, you know, because I know it takes away from the value of my property. So that's what I have.
Very good. Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Point of information. I didn't hear your last name, Steve.
Farley. F-A-R-L-E-Y.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, I'm Neil Moyer. I live on North Country Club. I'd like to make a couple of observations about the last meeting of the council, particularly on the item, or last item on the agenda, I think it was 8.9, which for purposes of brevity I'll call the bunker rule, having to do with actions by council members using electronic devices to send messages. As I recall, the original item was certainly presented with the intention of revoking the bunker rule. Then, subsequently, an amendment, which I will call the Jennings Amendment, was presented, which was an attempt at something, I'm not sure what, since the language wasn't available. But important at that time was there was no opportunity to publicly comment on the Jennings Amendment. Jennings Amendment deals with texting, which is a specific form of communication from an electronic device. And I'd like to note that the electronic devices, which most of you have in front of you, many of you have in front of you, can be used to communicate, not necessarily by texting, which is not necessarily defined or otherwise explained in the city's ordinances. One can send messages from that electronic device in front of you by Facebook, private messaging function, or you could even send an email from that device. So the Jennings Amendment doesn't address those issues, whereas the original Bunker Amendment was more all-encompassing. And I believe there was confusion on the part of the council when they were juggling both the original Schnell resolution and the subsequent Jennings Amendment, which was taken before the Schnell resolution. And I'm not sure that it's clear, certainly it wasn't so clear from those of us in the audience, it wasn't clear from some of the testimony that was presented earlier in the meeting, what the council was acting on and how did they act. This points up the other observation I'm making, and that is when the mayor sequesters public comment to the beginning of the meeting, this is before any of the items are presented, and as a consequence, there's no way of knowing how the item will be presented, what will be said, what will be explained or not explained, or what will be done to the item as part of the meeting. And I think that particular item is a worst case example of how that can go. And as a consequence, I think there's two issues there, but I will leave you with what I think would be I'm going to recommend and suggest that someone bring the bunker amendment, the bunker rule back to the council for consideration, because it is clear, concise, does not require any further references to things which are not defined in the city's regulations, and covers the issues that I mentioned tonight of being able to communicate from a cellular device by means other than texting, which is a specific form of communication, does not cover at least the two other examples I presented. And there may be other examples which I haven't brought forth. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mike Masadiegos, 615 Meadow Lawn.
Yes, sir.
A couple of
issues I have. First one is, in the back of my house, y'all replaced the water line several years ago, and that's great. Y'all just never filled it in. And contacted the city on more than one occasion about having it filled in. Well, due to it never getting filled in, the back decking on my pool has now broken off and fallen because all of that whole yard and everything has fallen into the hole there that was created when y'all replaced the water line. So that's the cause. The effect is now, obviously, that my pool's messed up and I'm going to pay to fix that because I doubt y'all are going to pay for it. But I would like for y'all to possibly fix the pipe before I spend money fixing the pool again. And like I said, I'm not complaining or whining by no means. I mean, I'm just saying we just need to fill that in before I go any further. By all means, that's all that is. It's not a, I don't sit here and say, y'all owe me money for this pool. By no means, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to fix this. Second thing is I really wanted to see, I know for the $80 permit fee, it doesn't bother if I have to pay it. It really doesn't. But I wanted to add on and make some changes. So I've gone to the city, I've gone upstairs a couple of times. I left my name, my number. I said, I don't mind paying the $80 to have the inspector contact me and say, I can meet you at your address at a certain time, whatever. Because before I spend money getting engineered drawings, I want to make sure I can make the changes I want. You know, it does me no good to spend thousands of dollars to have these drawings that are going to be useless to me. So that's my second bit. So, you know, people are trying to make this place nicer and add on and improve their houses and, you know, make things nicer. We need to probably, you know, work with them a little bit, you know. All it's going to do is make the city look a lot better in all these houses, you know. So that's the only thing I had. Like I said, I appreciate y'all's help and time and everything. So thank you all.
How do you spell your last name, sir?
MAZARIEGOS.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
MAZARIEGOS.
GOS.
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 Thank you.
We're hitting it one after another.
Lining up.
Bring it on.
Tracy Malanson, 606 Oakdale. And my question is heavy trash. I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but I thought it was supposed to be the first Monday of every month, and it's kind of a hit and miss, and I've got branches piled up. I can't trim my trees because I never know when they're going to come. I've got branches out there that have been there for almost a month. They picked up one pile, but they never came back and picked up the other pile. I still have branches in my backyard that I can't even drag to the front because I have nowhere to put them, because when they built the road and scooped out the ditches, I have no side now. So, which is fine. I love my road. I'm not complaining. It was bad. But I need to know, when do they come? Do they never come? Am I going to have to be responsible for hauling this stuff off? I mean, you know, like the gentleman was saying, we want to keep our yards and our house and things clean and kept up, you know, to like our community. But I can't haul everything out, and then it's just late leaving here. So it's been there for almost a month now. Rain, we have mosquitoes. There's nothing I can't do anything about it.
What was your address, ma'am?
606 Oakdale. I called last week to find out if I could bring it to, because that lot right there is mine too, and just bring it to Byway. Maybe they go different route or something. He said that was fine, but that means I have to drag it all the way down the street, so I'm just going to not do that.
Well, because we can't dial it back and forth, I can tell you in the morning if you'll call City Hall, speak with Mr. Stahl, he can address that issue.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Yes, ma'am.
Kim Sanford, again.
Get your address.
211 Cherry Creek Boulevard. And I agree with Mr. Moyer on bringing back Bo Bunker's motion to revisit that. I also am familiar with the South Country Clubhouse that Jennings has blogged about. that was owned by the guy that I bought my house from, and it is dilapidated. There's actually a gas line sticking straight up from where a tree uprooted it. That being said, we don't have a homeowners here, so I'm not sure about city council members running around in the city looking for things to pick on people for, or even going into private property. I thought that was criminal trespassing. I believe there's some lines that are being crossed. I'm not sure there, but also, I wanted to thank everybody for the fishing tournament. Like, everybody has really been generous and has volunteered, and it looks like everything's going to go off without any problems. We have a lot of gifts and a lot of kids that are entering, but I would really like to see more high school kids in. So if y'all know anybody. Also, Shell Beach, I wanted to see if we could somehow make that private for residents or members, or make it where it requires a membership. I'm not sure. There's several citizens as well as myself that would like to see that happen. A lot of the residents can't use it because outside people are coming and taking up all the space, and so it's not really available to us when we want to use it, which is why we moved here. So, but that's it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
John Kuhn, 5.5 Baywood. Two real quick things. I agree with Kim on Shell Beach. I don't know if there's a way that the city could encompass that, and if we could privatize that at all. That's still not, I think it would be worth looking at. Also, I'd like to talk to you about a golf cart for just a minute. I love mine. I ride mine. My wife and I are on ours every evening. I enjoy being able to do that in this city. The city of LaPorte, however, requires you to have an inspection, a tag, on your golf cart. And I would like the city, mixed emotions I'm sure with that from everybody else, to think about doing that. It would be a way that you could bring it by the, come by the PD, $15-$20 a year for an inspection tag on your golf cart. Some of them I think are a little fast for what should be considered, but mine runs top speed about 9 miles an hour, so I try to get out of everybody's way when I have to, and I think that's enough to just ride around. But I would support an inspection process for our golf carts, make sure the lights work and everything else, and something else that we could use to generate revenue on the city. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'll speak.
Please.
James Hedges, 2 Shoe Acre Circle. I walk Miramar, and I go down to Shell Beach, and there's a trash receptacle there, and I notice that people that are, I would assume, visitors, they just throw their trash on the beach. They don't take it to a receptacle. I also pick up trash amongst other people down at the pier, and it's a shame that people don't really have the pride that we have in the neighborhood. As far as the bulk pickup, I was out there this morning when he passed by my house at 7:30 when I was trying to pull my trash out. And I know that they're given a parameter of the time, but he blew by me, and you know, it's neither here nor there. Otherwise, I think the city's doing pretty good, and I appreciate you guys' efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay, we move on to item 7.0, administrative reports. 7.1, city administrator Dan Stahl, general activity report.
Good evening. June 1st, I'll remind you, started hurricane season. The city's gone through some of our routine preparations for that. I'd like for the residents to also be mindful that hurricane season is here. All the forecasts are showing a relatively light season this year, but it only takes one. Alicia was an extremely light year, but those of you that were here for Alicia will remember that was quite a storm. I note that today the paper delivery arrived of our three-part form paper, so that this utility bill that will go out this week will have our park donation forms in there. The last utility billing included our vehicle passes for folks to have if we do have to run roadblocks or shut down for a storm. And got that on that colored paper. Stick that in your glove box in case you need to have that. We had Schrader Engineering out last week. It was a breath of fresh air. They are the engineering firm that's the sub on our SCADA system, which is our supervisory control and data acquisition on our three lift stations and our two water plants. They communicate with each other, and we had some problems getting the system brought to completion. It was due over a year ago. A number of contractors pointing fingers at each other amongst the subs. Schrader stepped in and took the lead and called the other folks to the table and said pretty much that if they didn't take care of their part of it, Schrader wouldn't bill them, and really got some action. So we're really happy that that happened. And I got to tell you, I was really surprised. Schrader's a very large international firm that does chemical and petrochemical plants. And I got a phone call from Shal Schrader himself, an older gentleman who's been doing this since he worked at Cape Canaveral during the Thor projects. And he whipped the snapped the whip and showed up himself to oversee his people. So we made huge strides forward. There are a couple parts that had to be ordered by some of the other vendors, and that's now well underway, and I'm glad to see that progress. Last week, we had Precinct 2 come in and do some mosquito spraying. Rumor has it they didn't get every mosquito. But we'll see about them coming back here in the near future and see if they get the rest. We heard back from TxDOT. I know it was discussed here at council a couple times about drainage and Bioforest and Shore Acres Boulevard and a lot of punting that back and forth. TxDOT called and owned up that indeed it's all TxDOT right away. All the drainage responsibility is TxDOT. They will have a maintenance crew out this week to knock down high points and see if they can achieve drainage with their maintenance crew. If they're unsuccessful, they'll call their culvert or drainage contractor, and they'll come in and they'll address the drainage and do what's necessary. The other good news is by having TxDOT send their surveyors and their engineers out in an attempt to, I think, initially disproved that it was their responsibility. Once they found out it was, they also found that the road that we're constantly putting cold patch in, trying to keep the potholes down for the residents on Bioforest, is also TxDOT's. And so they're telling me that they're going to come back very soon and do a new asphalt overlay and repair that road. So that's also welcome news. You know, they have changes in personnel like everybody, and it just gotten away from them. And they didn't realize that that was theirs. And so now they'll be paying attention to that, and that's also good for our residents. Piece of bad news to report is a week ago at a little after midnight, we had a couple of vehicles show up, and with quite a bit of precision, cut the chain on our yard and back in and steal our mini Traco, which resides on a trailer with a trash pump. So they got a trash pump, a Traco, and trailer, about $30,000 worth of value, and in a couple minutes they have whisked it away. We are insured, and we'll have a deductible there. It's I'm not certain yet, it's not been all adjusted yet, but on the Traco, which is the expensive portion, our deductible is $1,000, so glad we had it all insured. The trailer may be included in that $1,000, a single incident. And the trash pump is going to be separate deductible. And we're not quite certain how that'll shake out. But largely, we'll get made whole. We're looking at what we can do with using a hardened chain over there. I suppose if somebody's really determined to get something, they're going to get it. We've never had any rolling stock stolen out of that yard, so it's kind of a first event for us. But we're going to look at ways we can help prevent that in the future. And I would make a comment on the status of the heavy trash pickup. We have been struggling for almost a year on getting that done with our regular trash collection company. I had agreed to do the first Monday. We do not have a contract with them for that. It is not in their contract, so we have no contract provisions we can enforce on that. We've not found any other trash hauler that was willing to do that work that was of that magnitude. We have since found another independent contractor. Last week, Republic Services, who picks up our household trash, did have a truck out here. We had another contractor that was here this weekend, and we're supposed to have the picker truck back this week. Problem is they've gotten so far behind, it's kind of tough to see where they're getting the materials that they're hauling out here, and we are monitoring them. They are taking full trucks out, but they each pull in and just start hitting what they can, and some start at the waterfront and some start at the other end. We're trying to wrangle that and get the oldest material picked up first, but we need to get all the material out of here. We've been struggling with that. But we'll stay on that, and we'll continue to work both of those contractors and anybody else we can find until we can get all of the debris out of here. And that is my report.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for Mr. Stone.
Go ahead, sir.
You mentioned drainage on Bioforest and Shorecrest Boulevard.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me who controls the drainage from Shorecrest Boulevard on Westview down to Baywood? Is that a city,
yes.
County?
Oh, on Shorecrest Boulevard proper.
From Shorecrest Boulevard down Westview to Baywood.
That's the city.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay. We'll move on to item 7.2, police report. Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I've never got a chance to look at the report. I'd like to give you a term that I don't use very often. It's called cause and effect, because I feel somebody needs to explain to you how we let a $30,000 piece of equipment walk off. This is a small city. That's an important piece of equipment that costs the citizens and the taxpayers a lot of money, and in some ways I feel responsible. The officer that worked that night felt responsible. I want to share something with you. I've been on those guys so bad about working Miramar, and when I asked him the next morning where he'd spent his night, about 1 o'clock, the first thing he said was, "Chief, I was on Miramar. I made an arrest at the pier, and I took him to jail, and I come back to see if anybody else was coming to the car because I thought there was drugs in it." So he sat down there at the time that happened, I believe, and he feels bad about it. But there could have been four of us on that night, and it still could have happened. I'm not making excuses. You do have the stats in front of you. There's not a lot on there that sticks out again. You know, I always prefer to talk about the positive things that go on in the department. We had another officer that I received a higher certification this past month. I also received correspondence from Clancy. What we call in the business a good time letter on Officers Hossie and Everett, where they administered CPR and the AED to try to revive a person who wasn't doing very well. And they were unsuccessful, but nonetheless, Clancy thought it was, the chief over there thought it was important enough that he write me and tell me the things that their employees told him about the officers and how hard they were working upon their arrival to try to revive. I heard the mayor talk about youth a while ago. I've heard other people talk about youth, and you know, sometimes in our city I get tired of hearing people talk about that it's an elderly community. I know there's elderly people that live here. We have our fair share of them. But there's a lot of kids in our community, too. And there's a lot of good things going on in the community, fishing tournaments and other things. And one of the things, we're going to participate in the 4th of July parade, obviously. One of the things I'm undertaking is we've had bicycle helmets built, but we're going to put in the cars, and we're going to pass out the kids this summer as we see them without bicycle helmets. There's a lot of kids that get injured every year because they don't have bicycle helmets. So this was we have one fund. It's kind of a discretionary fund, but it has to be spent on safety for children. And we got just about enough coloring books and crayons over there, so I thought we'd do something this year a little bit different. And we're also going to provide life jackets to the kids for the fishing tournament. But just a few good things that we're trying to do, and maybe help y'all forget about the track hole walking off.
Chief, what's the cost of those helmets? I'm sure it's very minimal.
Less than $4 a piece. And by the way, I want to say, and I want to give credit where it's due. Officer Salcedo, I directed him that I wanted to see this program, but he went out and found the company. He did all the work. He designed he did everything. So Officer Salcedo deserves full credit for it. He rides the MS-150 every year. He's a bicycle.
Chief, I want to ask you one question for the citizens to know, because I get asked this question, I answer it all the time, but I figure we'll, I want you to public, I'll put you on the spot. It's totally off. I'll tell her I hadn't brought it up to you before. Can you give a brief synopsis of why our patrol car is black and white?
Yeah, why are they black and white? I don't know. I know that we had long-standing colors that was used in the city. However, when you live in my world, you live in a world that sometimes not a happy place to be, and where we can enjoy our city because it's safe, and I know it's safe. I'm not stupid. Things can come here. People can come here that we don't want here. I see some of them here at Shell Beach. I came by yesterday and saw the not-so-violent people. But we help people in our communities that take pictures of our water plants. They take pictures of our refineries. So to sum it up and tell you, the Department of Homeland Security has suggested that we try to standardize policies, procedures, and vehicles and things like that so the bad guys don't know who's out there. It works in several different ways. There's not funding today, but in the near future there should be funding available. And one of the things that you're going to have to do is prove that you're keeping up with these guidelines that they're setting, having standardized covered vehicles. Or one of those guidelines. And quite frankly, when one of our officers is out of town, maybe he has to transport to Harris County Jail or something, and he's gone for an hour and a half at night. When a LaPorte guy is coming home because he lives in the city, these guys is walking up and down the road, I don't want them to know whose truck that is. It benefits us because it makes it look like there's a lot more of us, because quite frankly, there's not many of us. So it's a strategy. And I probably didn't answer that very well because you didn't give me zero time to prepare for it.
No, you did fine, and that is correct. There's going to be many grants out there issued to agencies that follow that rule. It's a Texas guideline that they're trying to promote, and federal also. But I did put the chief on the spot, but I've had a couple people ask us that. And the patch, the reason it's different on the vehicle, of course, I give all that to the chief. He designed it up, is that it basically sort of shadows out on the vehicle. So there's reasons for everything. So thank you, Chief. I appreciate that. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. But actually, I did, being that I'm going to be doing a ducky booth because of you. Yes, that's
Mr. Mayor.
I'm up for that.
You have a question for me?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you tell us about the lost and missing recovered abducted person?
Yes, sir. You missed the conversation, I think, I had with the citizen earlier, but we don't have our own records management system. So things go into the system one way, and they don't always get changed to what the end result was. For example, if we get a call of a missing person, that call goes into the computer as a missing person. When we get there, it may not be a missing person at all, but it stays in the computer because that's what it was called in as. We would have to physically go into the computer system, which we do not own and we do not have access to, and change it ourselves. One of the fears I have, because we contract with an outside agency, being LaPorte, is that if we cause them too much trouble and ask them to do too much for us, then they're going to charge us more to dispatch for us. Having been here when we were dispatched by another agency, things are tenfold better with LaPorte. I don't want to lose those guys. So the report may not be 100% accurate as you're looking at it and exactly what the call was when it was finished. But this year, I'm hoping I've found a records management system that I'm thinking we can purchase. When we have that, we'll have total control over what our call load looks like.
So the city still does not have records management?
It's expensive. I don't blame the city at all. It's an expensive endeavor. I just don't want anybody to think that I'm working on it. But you know, I've done a lot of research. I found one that DeSoto City uses that I think will work for us. But I want to make sure before I spend the money, I want to make sure that it really works for us. I want it to be able to do UCR for us, so that we can have UCR every year. I was embarrassed when new councilman asked me for UCR stats, and I couldn't provide them.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Do we not have that? Because the previous chief came before council and said it was in place.
We've never, as far as I know, we've never done UCR. Last year, I sat down and did them for the year 2013. It took me a week to do them because I had to pull every case out. I sat down and started it this year, and I threw my hands up because we had changed to LaPorte, and the way they documented things compared to what was in our files were so different that I didn't want to sign off on it saying it was accurate. There's no law that you have to participate.
Right.
It's encouraged, and I want to, but I'm not going to sign a piece of paper that I think stated is factual.
I don't blame
you. Chief, is there any possibility of what the 100s Club giving some type of donation out of their categories for that system that you need?
The 100 Club likes for you to have 3 years of UCR reports on. They also like for you to have a mandatory vest policy, which we don't have. So there are some things that stand in the way there. We have a mandatory vest policy. We probably have to supply a vest. They're very expensive.
How many of our officers right now, Chief, don't have vests?
I don't think anybody has a vest that's not over 5 years old, which is the end of the line.
I was going to say within the last cycle. So basically, we have all our officers on the street right now with no vest or within our guidelines.
I know we haven't bought a vest in 4 years.
So,
just to clarify, the city is not providing vests for the officers.
Mr. Stahl could probably answer it better than I can. Since I've been here as an officer and as chief, we've never supplied vests.
There was a time we had Bureau of Justice grants, and it would be about enough to buy sometimes two vests. And those vests then went to an officer, and when the officer left, the vest went with them.
And my full vest, for the audience to know, a good vest is going to run, if I'm still right, about $1,400 minimum.
They're not quite that expensive, but they're expensive.
Any other questions, counsel? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
You have a good evening, sir. Really good job. Moving on to item 7.3, monthly Public Works Department report. Mr. Stone.
Your Public Works report is in your packet. I would call your attention to a low number of water line breaks, and that we moved 10 miles of drainage ditches. We'd like to keep that number higher than that, but we're making progress. Also, we are assisting the city of LaPorte. They will be replacing a water main connection from Broadway, Old 146, to North Shady to feed the portion of LaPorte that is south of us all the way out to Bay Colony. And while they do that work, they'll be doing an interconnect on one of our fire hydrants on Baywood, and we'll be providing water for them to keep those residents with water. It should only take about 4 hours, and that's scheduled to happen this week as well. And that's all I've got on the Public Works report.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Any questions, Council?
I don't even know how they got 10 miles of ditch snow this wet as it's been.
Moving on to item 8.0, business. 8.1, consideration approval invoices. The council's had time to review the invoices. I'll entertain a motion.
Make the motion to pay the bills.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We have a second.
I second.
Okay, Mr. Adams. That being said, any questions to the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yes. Aye. Moving on to item 8.2, discussion and approval of ordinance number 2015-181, amending the city code chapter 6, division 3, dogs, cats, ferrets, by Alderman Jennings. Mr. Jennings.
I happened to buy a puppy this year, and so I was in conflict with city code because my veterinarian would not put a rabies shot on him until he was 4 months old. City code requires 3 months old. State of Texas requires 4 months old. So I talked to City Administrator Stahl, and we changed that. And then the City Administrator also came up with several other changes that need to be made as far as housekeeping stuff. And so that's what this is about. It's just moving, from my point of view, it's moving the vaccination to meet state code. And then from the city administrator's point of view, it's just housekeeping, so he can tell you about the housekeeping stuff.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. The section that was brought to my attention was the vaccination requirement section. And to keep that from being in conflict with other portions, for example, we did move from 3 months to 4 months. That had been the standard in the past. It would be perfectly legal for the city to stay at 3 months, and the city can be more restrictive than the state law. But as Mr. Jennings, Alderman Jennings, has raised the point, veterinarians would like to wait till the fourth month. That's become the norm. State law changed to the fourth month. We did not. There's also another state law, however, that says that we cannot register a dog that has not already had a vaccination. And so another portion of our code here says that we require you to register at 3 months. So that necessarily needed to change to 4 months to be compatible. So there were some changes through here. Pretty uniformly, you can see where we went from 3 months to 4 months, so that that all works and we're not in conflict with state law. The other portion here, which we were behind on, was in the fee section. There was language that said in this ordinance, and you'll see that it's bracketed for removal, and this record shall be available to the public, and that's the registration record. Because of stalking, a number of changes were made in state law to protect and make private certain records. One of those was animal registrations. It is a Class B misdemeanor. You can go to jail for 180 days and pay a $1,000 fine for disclosing who the owner of a pet is or any information off the pet registration. So we have not been doing that. And when we make a change, as we did here on the vaccination, I like to take a chunk of that ordinance and bring it all up to date current. So we did the entire division of this particular animal control. And those were the only changes that were made.
So I'll make a motion to adopt this.
Second.
Yeah. Okay. Second. Any questions from council on this item? None? Well, none being said, I'll entertain a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Ayes have it. Thank you. Thank you, Alderman Jennings. Moving on to item 8.3, discussion and approval of resolution number 2015-146, appointing members of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Mayor Moses. In position as a mayor, you have appointments that you want to make for Parks and Public Works. When we talk about the Parks and Recreation and also the Zoning Commission area, right now we're only looking at the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. And I try to look at individuals that basically put in the time, try to help out the city, people that have the time also, because I know people have to work for a living, you know, things of that nature. Position one nomination, who I wanted to put in there, was Diane Victor, serving a 2-year term ending on January 31st, 2017. Diane Victor has been a longtime resident of Shore Acres, and she's always willing to help. She sticks her arm out there all the time, ready to go. You know, she serves on numerous boards and has helped the city in numerous ways. Anna Pennell, basically, served a 2-year term also, January 31st, 2017. Another person that's put the time and effort in. Position three, Howard Dahl, serving a 2-year term. Howard himself, we haven't seen lately. He's sort of been incognito, but every time I turn around, Easter or something going on at the city park, he was always up there helping. Every time I turn around, there he is. I think something like that definitely, you know, is offered this time. We greatly appreciate it. Last but not least, Kim Sanford, fairly new resident to my knowing. However, I was highly impressed with the fact of something coming up with the Shore Acres, the first fishing tournament. I know that's a big undergoing to get that type of situation done. She seems to be motivated to help the kids in this city, and things like that are appealing. It's not like people are banging down my door for these positions, let me tell you. So at this time, with those four folks that I'd like to appoint, I'm asking the council for their approval on it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to divide and vote on each person individually.
I can allow that. That's within our charter.
Yeah.
I can do that. I will allow that, Mr. Jennings.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, so position one, Diane Victor.
You just want a yes vote or a motion or what do you want?
It doesn't have to be a motion, actually.
Well, we don't have a motion on the floor except the motion to divide.
And vote individually.
So,
I make a motion to accept Diane Victor.
There you go.
That's right. There you go.
I just need a second.
Right. You need a second.
Okay, I gave a second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? All right. Position two. Anna Field. We have a motion.
Make a motion. Anna
second.
Field. Second by David Jennings. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Position three. Harry Ball.
I make a motion to appoint Howard Dahl.
Thank you, ma'am. Second.
Second.
Mr. Adams, all those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Position four, Kimberly Sanford.
Point of order. I have a point of order here, Mr. Mayor. Mrs. Kimberly Sanford is not eligible for nomination because she is not a qualified voter of the city for the previous six-month period as required by the Soar Acres Code of Ordinances. Mrs. Sanford is not a registered voter and thus fails to meet the definition of a qualified voter per the Texas Election Code, Title 2, Chapter 11, Section 11.002A6. And I have given each of you a copy. And the citation number one is from Section 4235 for qualifications. And you can clearly see that it requires a qualified voter of the city for at least the previous six-month period. And the second one is a citation from the Texas Election Code, Title 2, Chapter 11, Section 11.002A6. It requires that to be a registered voter. The city secretary can attest to the fact that Mrs. Sanford is not a registered voter of the city and therefore is not a qualified voter for the previous 6 months.
Has Ms. Sanford been a resident of the city for 6 months?
That's my question.
It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. If you read, we are not qualified as a body to determine qualified voter. Qualified voter is a legal definition, and as you can see by Texas Election Code, Title 2, Chapter 11, Section 11.002, a qualified voter. One of the requirements, number six, is that the voter is that it be a registered voter. It has nothing to do with the residency of the city.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Well, Mr. Jennings, we appreciate that. Alderman Jennings bringing that to our attention. This time, Ms. Sanford, I'm sorry for your.
Is it a registered voter for the city or for just a registered voter? Because I am a registered voter, just not for Harris County.
I'm sorry. Please give us. But we appreciate all the other things that you're doing for the city at this time. I greatly appreciate it. Since that time, we had the three positions, so there'll be a fourth position open.
Right.
So.
Can we make a nomination for the fourth position?
The mayor basically told me does that. I'm going to evaluate that and bring it back up next time.
Thank
That's
you.
My privilege. Okay. Any other questions from the council?
Yeah. If you could have a motion on the resolution now with those names inserted.
Okay. Make a motion to pass this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. We have a second.
One second.
Thank you, all those in favor?
All right. To be clear, we're voting on an amended resolution.
Yes.
That is correct.
Aye.
All right. All those against? All right. With that being said, move on to item 9.0, adjournment, 7:49. Thank you, everybody.